Today, this special day that we call Mother's Day, the day when we remember those mothers that have made a great sacrifice for us to have the life that we have. Many mothers have sat beside bedsides and prayed for us, and others have not fulfilled that calling, but we're going to honor them today as we present the message, Motherhood, God's Beautiful Design. God's beautiful design is motherhood. Let's just bow our heads and thank the Lord for His anointing. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the one who brings your anointing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I pray that you will anoint my lips to speak the words that you have given me. You will anoint our minds to receive and our hearts to retain and to keep it and to learn from this lesson that you have given to us. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. In Jesus' name, we give you all the glory and the honor. Amen. Motherhood is God's beautiful design. There's no career more noble than that of motherhood. As designed by God, the way God designed it, nothing is higher calling. There are no possibilities greater, and in no other sphere does failure bring more serious penalties. Terrible penalties for one who does not teach and train her children. There is no higher height that one can attain than that of a redeemed, spirit-filled, praying mother. I remember when I was a teenager and I would come home a little bit later, and I didn't stay out late like some of them do today, but when I would come in the door, I would hear my mother in her room praying for her children. And that was a praying mother. My mother was a praying mother when we had family devotions. If I'd done anything I shouldn't do, I was a little bit afraid to come to the devotion because I just knew that God was going to tell her what I'd been into and what I had done. And it was not uncommon at all. She had that gift. But she was a woman of prayer. We need to recognize how great an influence that we have on our children, our grandchildren, our husbands, and the world by demonstrating God's love and our faith in Him. Just like the call I got that said, tell me the story again. When we give that story in depth and with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, our children will not forget. They may come back and say, tell it to me again. I need to be reminded, because Satan is out there with every trap that he can bring to deceive and discourage everybody he can. Jesus said, whatever, in Matthew the 25th chapter, Jesus said, whatever you did for one of the least, the smallest of these my brethren, my brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. I don't know who is smaller than the little children. Even a baby can sense the presence of Jesus in you. I told my grandson, he stayed there with his baby. It's 5 days, 6 days old today, I guess. And I said, that baby loves me. Do you know why? I said, because that baby senses Jesus in me. And he said, I think so, Grandma. And so, beautiful baby. So Jesus said, whatever. And Jesus was one who said, let the little children come to me and forbid them not. He loved children. We live in a world today where many people do not love children, and they do not want children. I'm not saying that somebody has to have children that they cannot take care of, but I say that Jesus loves the little children, and so should we. Our children are like precious jewels that God has entrusted to our care. We have to handle them carefully. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, God commanded light to shine out of darkness. He has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to reflect Jesus in everything that we do and say. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And I'd like to think that that these earthen vessels are even our children. They are earthen vessels that we place that treasure of Jesus into them, that the excellence of the power may be of God, not of us, but of God. It is important for mothers as well as fathers, but that comes later, doesn't it? We'll talk about it later. how important is the leadership of a father, how our nation needs it. It so needs good men to lead. But how important is it is to teach our children the Word of God, not only by reading it, but how else? By demonstrating it through our daily walk. We don't come to church suddenly become righteous when we've used foul language and cursing and discouraging words outside in the car to our children and then come in and expect them to think, wow, you're righteous. It is the fruit that we display before them that is necessary. I was very stunned while I was at a meeting that several years ago that my son gave, a little gathering, and there was a young lady there that I had not met before, but one of his friends had married, and this woman was talking. We sat around the table. I was stunned when I overheard her say, "The most important thing I want to teach my daughter is that she should have no guilt in doing whatever makes her feel happy." My heart was so heavy, I thought, what a horrible thing to teach your daughter. Go out and sin. Why don't you teach her the Word of God? But we have a nation today that's what they're teaching. Do what feels good. I saw, you see on cars, you know, I have the right to do what I want to with my body. Really what they're saying is I have the right to destroy another life. We're living in perilous times, and we cannot allow Satan to deceive us. He's very cunning and subtle. And sometimes, young people, if we're not grounded in the Word of God, we will accept the lies that people have told. Let us live godly even in this ungodly world. Let us dare to stand alone if necessary. I remember the song that says, "I have decided to follow Jesus, though none go with me. Still, I will follow." I would like to sing that. I'd like everybody to have that determination in our faith. If we do that, we'll have others that will say, "Well, I'm going to follow too." In 1 Peter chapter 2, he said, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." This is what you should do, just like Jesus did. God's word is the manual for training our children. In Psalm 119, 133, it says, "Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me." I don't want it in my life, and I don't want it in my children's life or my grandchildren. God said, "I choose Abraham because he will teach his children." And we need to be one that God says, "I can depend on him or her to teach her children." Leonard Ravenhill, well, let's see, I skipped a couple here. Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path." A lamp to my feet, that's something that's right directly in front of me, and the light shines out further. Helps us see what's right here to trip us and what's out there. When I was in Texas, I took a fall because I was looking out there, and it was a dark place, and the carpet was it was a sunken living room. And the carpet went right up in the steps, and I just kept walking, and oh, and I went down. And I thought, that's so much like, you know, David said, God is a lamp to my feet. I can see right here, but I can also see out what is in front of me. His word is that to me. My feet, Job said, have closely followed his steps. I have kept to his way without turning aside. I think of the horses, the workhorses, how they put blinders on them. And they cannot see over here or over there. Sometimes I think that the Holy Spirit needs to put blinders on us so we cannot see the enticements that Satan would like to draw us aside and tempt us with. Leonard Ravenhill said, "Smart men walked on the moon. Daring men walked on the ocean floor." He said, "But wise men and women walk with God." How true that is. There are a lot of accomplishments, but the greatest is to know Jesus, know God, the wisdom of God. Every mom is a missionary. Moms aren't on the sidelines of the mission field, they're on the front lines. handing down the faith like Timothy's grandmother, Lois, and his mother, Eunice. We see that in 2 Timothy, or like Paul's foster mother. Remember, Paul had a foster mother mentioned in Romans 6:13. Paul sent his personal greeting to his friends in Rome, and he says effectively, this is what he says, "Say hello to Rufus and to his mother, who was a mother to me." He said, this man's mother was a mother to me. Rufus was the son of Simon of Cyrene. Remember, he was the one who carried the cross of Jesus on the last painful journey to Golgotha. This means that Simon probably went home from that experience a changed man. And he shared the power of that moment. The Bible doesn't tell us, but Scripture tells us the lineage. And he probably shared the power of that moment with his wife, who then likely shared it with her sons, Alexander and Rufus. And it carries down, a mother sharing with her sons, and on down. In Mark the 15th chapter, the 21st says, "And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross." I can imagine that this woman heard from her husband about his close encounter with Jesus, and that the two boys heard it well. And then she might have shared it with Paul, how they met, where they met, and under what circumstances this remarkable coincidence occurred. We don't know, but we can see by the lineage what probably happened. I imagine this. She was like a mother to, just imagine, she was like a mother to the great apostle Paul. Paul of Tarsus may have learned about the final moments of the life of his new Lord from the wife of the man who carried the Lord's cross. I thought many times that man who carried that cross could not have carried it without a radical change and impact on his life. The blood was streaming down. I think, what an encounter. The blood flows for us today, but this man had the blood as he carried the cross. This woman was like his mother, was like a mother to Paul. Think about it. Without knowing who Paul would become, she was a mother to the most significant convert in the history of the church. We never know what the impact of our testimony will be for someone else and who they will become. I remember when my husband and I were at Lee College. It's a university now, but Lee College. And there we labored and worked in a church that was built in the dump, literally the dump. And we put up showers for people to come who lived in tents and behind rocks and everything. It was unthinkable. And we would provide a place for them to shower, etc. There was a young man in the church there, and he was about 12 years old, came to church, and, they were not clean. They were homeless and living in the dump and eating what they could find. It wasn't like it is today. Maybe it's like that some places. But anyway, this was in Tennessee. And this young man would come in my Sunday school class. I taught the young people, and then I taught the children. And he would come in, and I thought, what does he have to look forward to? He doesn't have a mother. He doesn't have a father. He has nothing. All he has is what we teach him. But we planted the Word of God in his heart, and he wanted to be like my husband. He wanted to be like the pastor. And time went on, and one day I heard, guess what? I think his name was Billy. He is getting his license. He's becoming a minister. He has gone into preach the gospel. We never know the impact we can have. Even though it's not a biological child, it's somebody we can influence. Moms, don't give up. A missionary was trying to stir up interest, I read the story, in people going to the mission field, a foreign country, to preach the gospel. And at the end of the service, a woman dragging a little boy behind her told the missionary, "I just feel like God is calling me to be a missionary." He is indeed, replied the missionary, and pointing to the little boy, he said, and there's the little heathen to whom he wants you to preach. How many times we forget about those that are right before us, right around us, and we try to go out somewhere else. I'm not saying we should not minister somewhere all over, but we don't forget our first line of ministry. When Preacher John Wesley was a student at Oxford University, he was shocked by the amount of drinking done by the students. I don't know what he'd think today. And so he wrote to his mother, Susanna Wesley, for her counsel. And he received the following words. She said, my dear son, remember this, that anything which increases the authority of the body over the mind and the spirit is an evil thing. What great instruction. Anything that causes your body to outweigh this, what you know is right. A London editor submitted to Winston Churchill for his approval a list of all those who had been Churchill's teachers. Churchill returned the list with his comment, you have omitted to mention the greatest of my teachers. It was my mother. And how great that is, our mothers teach us the things we carry on and on and on, the greatest teacher. Mother was the greatest preacher. Many mothers have done a lot of preaching to their children, whether they considered it preaching or not. Their lives testified of it. Their words testified of it. Instead of saying, you good-for-nothing little brat, how about God has given you a challenge? Let's meet the challenge with His grace. We need to pray for our mothers because our moms, good or bad, have provided life for us. We each should pray for us. Not everybody has had a mother that was an example of Christianity. But we need to pray and be thankful for them. We should give thanks for our mothers, all of our mothers, because parenting demands unseen sacrifice. In Galatians, the 4th chapter, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. The womb was God's great tool for the salvation of the human race. Have you ever thought of that? He used that part, a woman, to bring the salvation to the human race. He borrowed one to accomplish His plan. So to speak, He borrowed that. He said, I'm going to use this to bring my Son into to become flesh. He fulfilled the promise through a borrowed womb. We live in an age when sex is lauded and revered, but gender is confused and motherhood is jeered at. There aren't very many young women today who really want to be a mother. I shouldn't say, but a lot of them do not want to be. But God didn't use sex to save the world. Instead, He used gender. He used a woman. God used the gender of the female kind to save us. Now, He could have done it any way He could, wanted to, but He chose to use a woman. He honored pregnancy and motherhood in a way that our culture does not honor it today. God bypassed what our culture worships today, sex. He bypassed sex and used what our culture dismisses as unimportant, motherhood. Moms should be honored by us. God honored them all with the incarnation. Mothers are a reminder of God's faithfulness to us and that being a mother is worthy of honor. When God created Eve, He said, it's not good that man is alone. And He said, I'm going to give him a helper, a helpmate. Sometimes women get the idea that it's their job to boss or to nag and to try to lead. That is not what God created her for. He said, I want to give him a helpmate, somebody that will help him and work with him. And sometimes I think have more wisdom and be smarter. I don't know. But anyway, this is a story that I used to tell to my kids that I thought was kind of talks about a mother, the sacrifices that mothers make, a mother's love. There's no greater love other than God's love. That's the closest to mother's love. There was a teenager who didn't want to be seen in public with her mother because her mother's arms were terribly scarred and disfigured. One day she always asked her mother, wear long sleeves. Do not let your arms show, Mom. It's embarrassing to me. I don't want you to let that be seen. One day when her mother took her shopping and reached out her hand, a clerk looked horrified. Later, crying, the girl told her mother how embarrassed she was. I can't believe you let her see your arms. You know how embarrassing it is for me to have a mother with arms that look like that. And so for the first time, the mother waited a while, but then she went to the daughter's room to tell her what had happened and why her arms were so scarred. She said, when you were a baby, I woke up to a burning house. Your room was an inferno. Flames were everywhere. I could have gotten out of the front door, but I decided I'd rather die with you than leave you to die alone. I ran through the fire and wrapped my arms around you, then I went back through the flames, my arms on fire. When I got outside on the lawn, the pain was agonizing. But when I looked at you, all I could do was rejoice. The flames had not touched you. Stunned, the young girl looked at her mother through new eyes. Crying in shame and gratitude, she kissed her mother's marred hands and arms. The sacrifices of a mother shows a heart of love for her family. And all of us can remember many unselfish acts of devotion our mamas made for us. This story that I just read to you was told to be a true story. A teacher at school put this question to little James in a math class. James, suppose your mother made a cherry pie and there were 10 of you at the table. You're studying fractions, your mother and father, and 8 children. How much of the pie would you get? 1/9 was his answer. Oh, no, no, James. Pay attention. There are 10 of you in the home. Don't you know your fractions? Yes, ma'am, he replied. I know my fractions, but I know my mother even better. And she'd say that she didn't want any pie. And how often that reminds me of my mother when we had 13 children in the family. And she'd say, oh, I don't even want any of that. And she made sure that everybody else got it. Thomas Edison once said, I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence which has lasted all my life. The good effects of her early training I can never lose. If it had not been for her appreciation and her faith in me at a critical time in my experience, Bob still believes in her child. He said, I should never likely have become an inventor if it were not for her faith. I was always a careless boy and with a mother of different mental caliber. I should have turned out badly, but her firmness, her sweetness, her goodness were potent powers to keep me in the right path. My mother was the making of me. He said the memory of her will always be a blessing to me. Probably every one of us can say there was something about my mother, a blessing, something I remember that made an impact forever in my life. What a loving tribute he gave to his mother. In Proverbs, the 31st chapter, we read about who can find a virtuous woman. And the 28th verse, it says, her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. We see that mothers do all kinds of work. She sews, we read that. She selects wool and works with eager hands. A mother, have you ever seen a lazy mother? Very few. You don't see, they don't have time, do they? It says that a woman's work is never done. She works from dawn till setting sun. A man does, but her work's never done. She sews, she selects wool, she works with eager hands. Then it goes on down, the 14th verse says, she brings her food from afar. I don't think that's a fire either, that's afar. And she cooks, she provides food for her family. She prepares, if she's going to be away for a little while, she tries to get food prepared for them. She plants a vineyard. My, what a woman. Our text also says that mothers, in verse 15, it says that they get up while it's still dark to prepare food. Don't get any ideas, Joshua.
Praise the Lord.
And then, In verse 18, it says, her lamp does not go out at night. I remember how many times that my mother sat up at night with me when I had an earache, and she would stay there. And actually, I have a hole in my head, in case you didn't know. I have an excuse. I have a hole that was put there when I was probably 2 or 3 years old. I climbed up on a pile of car batteries, and some way I fell down, a battery came down in the corner, hit me in the head, top of the head. And it's got a dent still to this day. I have hair to cover it, but my mother took me. They didn't go to doctors. They just did what they could do. And she said, she told me that she held her fingers in that and held it together for 6 hours until it could stop bleeding. And you see that I am alive today. That's just one of the things. But the devotion of a mother is beyond what anybody would do who is not a mother. Just like it says, a man works from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. In verse 27 of the 31st chapter, it says, she watches over the affairs of her household, does not eat the bread of idleness. She is not lazy. Too many people just get lazy. And she speaks in verse 26. It says, she speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. My, what a woman that is. She speaks with wisdom. She's very careful. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. How many women need to listen to this and say, I want to be that kind of woman. I want to be a woman that's the kind God created me to be. If a husband has full or complete confidence in his wife, then you know that she is a woman who loves her man. She's really loves him, stands beside him. We can be godly women, mothers in a godless world. As difficult as it is, we don't want to receive Satan's lies. No mother is perfect. Motherhood is no easy job. Our culture has embraced as its greatest value personal happiness, unfortunately. The dangers of divorce, acceptance of sexual immorality, and a preoccupation with self-fulfillment have taken their toll on the family. While our culture spins out of control and the family unit breaks down, the Bible lifts up the family and exalts the place of the woman in the family. Motherhood is a ministry of teaching, preparing people to follow God's pathways, and one of being an example of the love of Jesus. When I was teaching school, I taught different levels, but I one day was teaching a little kindergarten class. This child came up with profanity that was like a sailor. And that told me something about his background. His family life was not intact. It was not according to God. In Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, verse 6, it says, Solomon writes, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. He may have some struggles, but he will remember and he'll come back. Here's a poem that I think illustrates the ministry of a mother and a teacher. Many of us are mothers that are not biological mothers, but we fill that place. I took a piece of plastic clay and idly fashioned it one day, and as my fingers pressed it, still it bent and yielded to my will. I came again when days were past, the bit of clay was hard at last. For form I gave it, still it bore, but I could change that form no more. Then I took a piece of living clay and gently formed it day by day, and molded it with my power and art, a young child's soft and yielding heart. I came again when years were gone, it was a man I looked upon. Still that early impress bore, and I could change it never more. In Proverbs, the 28th through the 30th verses says, her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. He said, many women, and he wrote this about his mother, who was Bathsheba. And he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all, he said. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. A man who seeks a woman for her beauty and her charm and the physical appearance is foolish. Because if a wise man will choose a woman that's made in the, like God instructed and he intended her to be, he will have strengthened his household if he chooses a woman like that. What a privilege it is to be a mother. Let us, if you are watching today and you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, maybe you feel like you've made a lot of mistakes. We all have. But Jesus came. He took our shame for us when he hung on that cross naked, bruised, and battered, not even identifiable. He took the shame for you and for me. No matter where you've been or what you've done, he took it. And he wants you to receive his righteousness. If you have not done that, I ask you today to make him the choice of your life as we pray. Make the decision to let him be the Lord of your life and you can be the woman or the man that he wants you to be. Heavenly Father, I come to you now in behalf of all those who would like to receive you but perhaps never have, or maybe they have strayed away from you. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will just hear their cry as we pray in your precious name. Let your righteousness fill their lives and every bit of shame, every lie of Satan that says you cannot succeed, may it be torn down in the name of Jesus, I pray. I thank you that we can be victorious through you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I trust that you have made Jesus the Lord of your life and that you will follow him, begin to read the Word of God. It will bring life abundantly to you. Thank you for joining us today on this very special day for mothers. May you have a blessed week. Before we are dismissed, I want to honor our mothers and our women, because sometimes I don't think we get the appreciation that maybe some guys are really good about it, and others just, they say, well, she knows that do I have to tell her? She knows I appreciate her. I don't know. But anyway, but I want you to know that we recognize that you are very valuable. You're precious in the kingdom of God, and we just want you to know that. And so there's a little bit of something, I think that's, is it up here? Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. I just...